This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kunnison and you're listening to Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, are you insured? And if you are you sufficiently insured? Now, these are questions that we're going to try to address on today's episode of Ringgit and Cents. This week, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng reiterated Bank Negara's stats that almost half of the country is uninsured. Less than 41% of Malaysians owned at least one group or individual life insurance policy. Now, to help me explore this topic, I have in the studio with me Stella Le, financial planner with Blueprint Planning. Welcome to the show, Stella.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
It's my pleasure, Stella. Now, let's get straight into it. What's the first thing I need to think about before I pick up an insurance policy?
Well, the first thing that you would want to think about before you pick up an insurance policy is, do you need an insurance in the first place? And if you do need an insurance, why do you need an insurance? Do you need an insurance for protection purposes? Do you need an insurance to transfer the risk of what you're insuring and stuff? And also, it depends on the category of insurance that you would like to purchase.
All right. So what's the difference then between something like protection and transferring risk?
All right. So a protection could be something as simple as, all right, I'm the sole breadwinner of my family. So I'd like my income to be protected in terms that if anything were to happen to me, I'm sure that my family will be well protected. In terms of transferring risk, it could be something as simple as I have a business. My business is running. It doesn't necessarily mean a life insurance is only covering for personal stuff. It could be for work. So like a business, then you would like to transfer the risk of the business. If anything were to happen to you as a business owner, you would like to have that insurance being there to be a cushion. If anything were to happen, that it will protect the business to keep on going when you're no longer around.
Right. Okay. So now, from that itself, mm-hmm. there are various different types of insurance.
Yes.
Whether it's life or term or personal accident, critical care or medical insurance. Yeah. What's the first one I want to tackle amongst these options?
I can't specifically tell you what you should until I get the whole picture of what you're currently in at the moment. So let's say a fresh graduate comes out and gets their first job. And they go like, oh, I want to buy an insurance, but I do not know where to start. So my advice would be to go, do you have any insurance to begin with? Because your parents would possibly have gotten you an insurance. And we need to look into what kind of insurance. Because if they gotten the insurance for you when you were a child, it could no longer be relevant at the moment. Yeah. Mostly the main concern for younger generation nowadays will definitely, I think, be medical. Because you are not in a position where if anything were to happen to you in terms of health-wise, you don't have that amount of money to fork out to pay for all the medical bills.
Right. So when it comes to medical insurance, mm-hmm. it's the taking care of you when you are sick.
Yeah.
And I think we've covered this before on mm-hmm. a previous episode, Ring and Sense. What I want to focus more on is actually something like personal accident or disability, total permanent disability cover.
Yep.
Now, these two are supposed to protect you in the event that something happens to you.
Correct.
Right? But they don't cover the same things.
They don't. So personal accident covers you when the name already indicates, when an accident happens. So it could range from, when people talk about accident, they go like, oh, does it mean my vehicle gets into an accident? No. Anything that happens accidentally will consider to be covered under the personal accident coverage. But it depends on what injuries that you sustain or that you got from the accident that will determine how much coverage will be paid out. So personal accident is something very basic that you could actually get online. You could just go to any insurance company, walk into the counter and say, I would like to get a personal accident covered. And it's simple. If you're talking about insurance, there's actually two different types. Do you want to discuss about the two different types? So like we have traditional plans. We also have the investment links.
Okay. Yeah, so, sure. Let's dive into that.
Yeah. So like personal accident by itself is considered as a general insurance. So meaning that if you want to get just personal accident, you can. But also if you want to get a life insurance or an investment link insurance, you can also add in the personal accident as an additional, option. Yeah.
What about TPD?
Total permanent disability comes in very handy if you no longer can work and that amount is sufficient to cover you for the rest of your life. But again, then it depends because how much is sufficient to cover for the rest of your life? I mean, how much to spend for the rest of your life? Because total permanent disability is very tricky in terms, if I'm only 25 years old, how much is enough to cover me if I can't work anymore, if there's nobody to take care of me anymore, right? So all this while, the recommended coverage is always 10 times of what your income, your yearly income is. But honestly, I don't think that is a very good...
it's not a great gauge.
Yeah,
right?
It's not a very great amount. I mean, not a very good number, a ballpark number that you can just put there. Okay, just cover me 10 times for my yearly income. So does it mean it's just going to cover me for the next 10 years? What about inflation? What about inflation in terms of medical or inflation in terms of living inflation and stuff, life inflation? It's definitely not going to be enough to cover you for the next 10 years.
Right. And so when we look at insurance, it's got to be a holistic picture, right?
Yeah.
Because just from that example between total permanent disability and personal accident, they sound similar, but they cover two different things.
Correct.
So personal accident, you can still work, but you're injured. So
correct.
You get compensated based on the injury.
Yes.
I think this is what my insurance expert told me when I was looking at insurance. It's like, if you lose one arm, that's personal accident.
Correct.
But if you lose two arms, then you can, that's total permanent disability.
Correct.
Because you are permanently unable to work.
Yeah. Or, I mean, work can be divided into a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Some people don't need hands to work, you know, like they will need ideas and stuff. So that's where you're considered to be able to contribute. So there are different categories on whether you are total permanently disabled or you're just injured for the moment.
Yeah. So these are all, it sounds very complicated.
Yeah, it right? does.
But I was very surprised because personal accident was done almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
It's the other stuff like medical and life that takes a little bit more time.
Correct. That is because the insurance company would also like to secure themselves, because what if the person who wants to be insured is actually unhealthy? Mm-hmm. So they'll need to do a little bit more work into looking into your past history, medical history, to see if you're a fit and healthy person. If you're a fit and healthy person, there shouldn't be a problem. It should be a very straightforward process for you to obtain an insurance. But if you're unhealthy, that's where the additional medical examination will come in.
And that's why it's so important that you get insurance before anything happens.
Definitely.
And this question comes up a lot. It's, oh, if something happens and I can't get insurance, then what's the point? The point is insurance is protection.
Insurance is protection. So a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm healthy, I'm young now, why do I need an insurance? Mm-hmm. It's also partly because, like I've mentioned before, you cannot see or cannot feel or cannot touch insurance. Insurance is something that you have to believe in. Insurance is something that when you sit down and people start talking to you about insurance, you go and think about it. Yes, just in case this happens, I've got myself covered.
It's important but not urgent, and hence the procrastination behind it.
Urgency is very, how do I put it? Like, urgency is
subjective
to different individuals, right?
Yeah. Mm. So now we've covered total permanent disability. We've covered personal accident. Let's talk about life insurance.
Okay.
What does life insurance cover?
Life. So basically, if anything happens and the insured passes on, life insurance comes in as a compensation for whoever the beneficiary is, which usually are family members or their partners. So life insurance is basic. It's just how much do you value your life?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. So if you think my life is worth R1 million, insure yourself for R1 million. But then again, like I say, there is no amount of number, or there's no number that you can put and say, okay, my life is worth this number. But coming from a financial planning perspective, you can actually calculate how mm-hmm. much you're worth. So if you can get yourself to meet someone or a financial planner who can actually do this for you, then they can actually calculate to the exact number of, okay, this is how much you should be getting yourself insured.
Yeah, because the problem is if you, let's say you insure yourself for R1 million, but you're earning 3,000 a month, say 36,000 a year, you may not be able to afford that policy.
Correct.
So when it comes to these policies, different types of insurance cover different things.
Yeah.
So if you're a young person, I'm guessing that life isn't the most important thing on your plate just yet.
like I say,
in terms of priorities.
Yeah, in terms of priority, possibly. It depends on people then again on how the priorities go. I would like to say that for young people, maybe just get a basic comprehensive coverage. Mm-hmm. That means you don't just remove some, I mean, like out of the four quadrants that we're talking about, you don't just remove one or two quadrants and just concentrate on the other two. Because it's best if you get yourself a basic comprehensive protection first before you move on.
Yeah, because if one of the quadrants isn't covered and something happens in that quadrant,
yep,
you've got absolutely no protection.
Exactly. And make sure to always look back into your policy in a year or two's time. Get a review done. There's so many people out there who's willing, more than willing to help you. And if you don't understand, you can always walk into the offices of these insurance companies to get an explanation of what your policy covers.
Yeah, because insurance changes. It gets better over time. It can get cheaper over time.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people are stuck with or haven't checked their insurance. So they're paying a lot more for a lot less.
Possibly. Because their insurance may be outdated. They possibly have not gotten it updated to their current lifestyle. So, for example, individuals who were smoking before and they quit smoking, they could actually get their insurance re-looked in and get their premiums adjusted. So, these are things that, people should be aware of.
So, insurance is not a buy and nothing changes. This is something that can get reviewed over time.
Correct. You got to be active when you have an insurance, in other words. So you got to be on the go. Like if your person in charge doesn't come back to you, you should be the one going to look after them. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about how do you determine whether you're overinsured or underinsured and about term life in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking to Stella Le, financial planner with Blueprint Planning. You're tuned in to Ring It and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, thanks for staying with us here on Ring It and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm speaking to Stella Le, financial planner with Blueprint Planning, and we're talking about insurance. Now, Stella, let's talk about term life insurance.
Okay.
Now, this is not a permanent life insurance policy, as the term suggests. Could you break that down a little bit for me?
Okay, term life insurance is one of the most basic insurance that you could possibly get. It covers for your life, which means it covers death when should death occurs. So term life is very simple. You have term life that stays the same amount, or you have a reducing term life, which reduces as you age. So you decide how long do you want to be protected. It could come in handy when you have something that you would like to transfer your risk to for a specific time frame. That means you're not tied down to this particular, commitment. Then you could get a term life insurance.
So what would be a real world example of something like that?
So for example, if you have a mortgage, so your mortgage is about, say, 30 years. So you could get a term life insurance to cover yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So specifically, that's going to protect the mortgage payments in case anything happens.
True.
Now, so it's very targeted.
Yes, you should be able to identify why do you need a term life insurance or any insurance in any sense, actually. Because you want to know, I have insurance A for this purpose, insurance B for this purpose, and so on. You don't want to be blindly getting insurance just because somebody comes up to you and say, hey, I think you need more insurance.
And I think that's a big problem, and that can lead to either over-insurance or under-insurance if no one comes up to you and ever asks you about insurance.
Yep.
So what defines that, Stella? What makes someone over-insured?
You become over-insured when you, how do I put this? Because it's difficult for me to say upfront whether you are over-insured or under-insured. Unless you get a financial health check by a financial planner, then you're able to tell if you're under-insured or you're over-insured. Most people in Malaysia, they do not know this. Because like I say, once you get an insurance, you just leave it be.
Mm-hmm.
You do not revisit your insurance until the person in charge comes back to you.
And you're handing over the responsibility over to someone else.
Correct. And you shouldn't, because you don't know the person in charge will forever be there or not.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that you should be taking responsibility as well, because it is also your own policy, right?
So on a theoretical basis, the idea of over-insurance means that you are buying too much insurance for a particular purpose. that you won't be able to utilize. Is that...
It's not that you won't be able to utilize, but rather because once you get an insurance, you are already protecting yourself from a certain amount of risk or anything that's going to happen. They're going to pay you out for that amount of money. Over-insurance could simply mean you are self-sufficient to insure yourself, but you still have all these insurances lying around. So meaning that you actually don't need to be paying for all these insurances, but you can divert whatever money you have for a different purpose.
Right, it's a matter of efficiency.
Correct.
You could be using the money for other things instead of paying for those particular insurance policies.
Yes, yes.
And underinsured is, I guess, self-evident. If you have no insurance, you're probably, no, you're not probably, you're definitely underinsured.
You're not insured.
And this could range anything from not having enough cover for any of the things we've discussed today.
Correct.
If you're underprotected for a particular risk.
Yep.
Another component to insurance is whether you go with a traditional form of insurance or investment-linked insurance.
Yep.
Now, could you just break that down? What's the differences between these two policies?
All right. So the traditional insurances are insurances that do not have investments in it, i.e. you do not place the funds into an investment. But whatever cash value that will be accumulated in that particular policy will depend on the performance of the insurance company. Whereas if you have an investment-linked insurance, it's where part of your premium is actually place into a unit trust, for example, to let some investment to go on and stuff, so you can accumulate a little bit of cash value over the time. But this will mean that the risk is on you because on the insured, because they are using their own money to go into the investment part, because any investment comes with a risk, right?
Right. Mm. So it's a bit of protection and growth. It's kind of like a hybrid.
Yes, it's kind of like a hybrid, but a lot of people do not understand that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that, oh, I buy insurance, and when people tell me I buy an investment-linked insurance, it means I'm going to be making money.
And it's not guaranteed because, as we just said, investment always comes with risk.
Correct.
So I'm personally a bit more conservative when it comes to insurance, so I would prefer something that's just pure play protection. And that's more traditional insurance, am I right?
Correct, but you have to bear in mind also, but with a traditional insurance, usually the premiums are higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with an investment link, the premiums are lower, but the insurance charges increases as you age. So there is a lot of to know in terms of getting a traditional insurance or investment link insurance. And a lot more people are looking into investment link insurance nowadays because it is a lot more affordable.
So what is the... I guess affordability is key because it's better to have some protection than no protection.
True.
In terms of a ballpark figure, in terms of a percentage of one's income, how much should I be budgeting for insurance? Do you have a number in mind?
It has to depend on your current commitment, because I cannot just tell you, oh, you should park 10%, 15%, 20%. Because if currently your commitment is already full up max to the brim of 100%, I can't be telling you, hey, look, Roshan, you should put 10% into insurance from your monthly salary, because then it'll be unfair. So look into your financial health again and see if you are able to afford insurance at the moment. And if you do, by all means, please go ahead.
Okay, so what are the key financial indicators in my personal life that I should be keeping an eye on before I buy insurance?
You need to be able to have savings. I mean, a healthy savings that you can cover yourself for rainy days. Apart from that, you need to make sure you don't overcommit and you know you are struggling to pay for your insurances every month. Because when people come to a point that they start struggling with finances, the first thing they'll drop is actually insurance. Mm. It's the easiest thing to drop because they go like, nah, I don't need insurance now. I can always get it later on.
And what is the consequence of doing something like that?
When you drop your insurance, then you will no longer be protected, right? Mm. So you pray and hope in this period of not being insured that nothing happens to you. You stay fit, you stay healthy. And the moment that you feel like, okay, I'm able to get another insurance policy, you are still fit and healthy for the insurance companies to protect you.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, affordability is key.
Yes.
And having a bit of buffer in your monthly cash flow to attribute to insurance.
Correct.
As a financial planner, would you say that insurance is highly important, that this is something that we should all be looking at?
Yes, insurance is something very important in a financial plan, but it is not everything in a financial plan. So you have a lot more aspect and categories to look into when you're talking about a financial plan instead of insurance itself. It plays a role, it's just not everything.
So Stella, we've talked a bit about financial planning through this interview. Now, a lot of times when people think about financial planning, it's always just about insurance. But, you know, financial planning is much wider than that. What are your thoughts here?
So whenever people hear or think of or hear the words financial planning, they go like, oh, so you want to talk about insurance. That is not true. Financial planning is a whole financial health check of your current life. So for example, you don't go to a doctor and say, hey doctor, I want to do a full body checkup, but I just want to know my glucose reading. That's not true, right? You want to go and you want to know how are you performing in terms of your general health. Are you healthy? So it's the same as a financial plan. A financial plan is a health report for your finances.
So it's taking a look at the holistic picture.
Correct.
Right? Income, expenses, protection, growth. These are all different things. And yes, it can sound like a lot to deal with and a lot to get started. But the key is to get started.
Correct.
And build it up over time.
Yes.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Stella.
Thank you for having me, Roshan.
I've been speaking to Stella Le, financial planner with Blueprint Planning. This was Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Up next, the 10am News Bulletin and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kannasin signing off for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.